is September the 12th, 2021. Welcome to the Cardi Show. I'm Brent Cardi. Glad to have you aboard. I want to thank everybody who tuned in and listened to us last week. A lot of great feedback, and Dave will be back in a couple of minutes as we discuss the week that was in baseball. Focusing today a little more on the Hall of Fame and the Blue Jays hot streak, but first, let's get to last week in baseball. The wild card race is wild in the American League. The Red Sox have the top spot right now, leading the Yankees by one game and the Blue Jays by one game, which means the Yankees and the Jays are tied going in today, being Sunday, for the second wild card spot. The Athletics and the Mariners are right behind them. Seattle is one back, and Oakland is 1.5 back of the second wildcard spot. So this is going to be a lot of fun, and unfortunately for the winner of the wildcard game, they're going to get the Tampa Bay Rays, who are just on a different level right now. And we get to see them this week against the Jays, and we just, how the hell do they continue to do it? That's my question. Not much going on in the Central. I mean, Chicago, they lost to Boston last night. But, you know, I got to think Tony La Russa is going to be resting his guys. And, you know, they're well on their way to taking the Central. Nothing has changed in the National League East. Nothing has changed in the West as the Astros have a 5.5 game lead over Seattle. That's not over yet, but I don't see the Astros self-destructing. The Brewers no-hit Cleveland, and congrats to the Brewers. They are just trucking along to taking the NL Central. Zach Plesac for Cleveland has been the starter for all three no-hitters for Cleveland. That's kind of interesting. Going to the West, the Giants still have a lead. They have a three-game lead over the Dodgers, and I believe that's the biggest lead they've had in a while. I know they were four ahead. Few months back, but how crazy would it be if San Francisco won 100 games? Who saw that coming? But, you know, for the Dodgers, they're doing just fine in the first wild card spot. Padres and the Reds are tied for the second spot. However, the Reds, and I didn't realize this, are 5-15 in their last 20, and the Padres have several games left against the Dodgers, and the Giants and the Cardinals are a couple games back as well, so it's going to be a lot of fun. These races are on fire, and we're going to be getting to the final lap sooner than later. And that's it for Last Week in Baseball. Dave Glassford's coming back next. All right, Dave Glassford back on the Cardi Show after a great appearance last week, another great appearance this week. And Dave, obviously, it's been a great week for baseball in Canada. Larry Walker finally gets his Hall of Fame induction. And the Toronto Blue Jays, they're playing pretty well right now. And I just want to have a quick aside. Danny Gallagher, great friend of the podcast, has a special article he wrote for the Toronto Star about the Jays missing out on Larry Walker. So I encourage everybody to check that out. But Dave, I know you watched it. What did you think of Larry Walker's induction in his speech?
Well, first off, I liked the length. I think it was a perfect length. I think it was like 13 minutes.
Yeah.
So as someone who sat through speeches before, I think that was like the perfect length for the perfect length for a speech like that. I really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed the speech. I liked the shout out right away to Fergie Jenkins.
Yep.
As we know on this show, he's probably my favorite Canadian Hall of Famer. He's also the original.
True.
One of the, or probably the original Hall of Fame, probably big superstar Canadian baseball player from Chatham, Ontario. So I like the shout out to Fergie. I like his mention on social media, which, his shout out to social media, which was probably the driving factor of him getting in, the analytics guy. So I thought that was a good shout out. And his hashtag, when he mentioned his hashtag, get a friend to with Fergie.
Yeah.
In the hall. I like that. That was pretty funny. And, I quite enjoyed the speech. You know, like I said, good length. Mentioned Cam Neely.
Yes.
So, does it get any more Canadian than that? I think he did a great job. And a big shout out to his teammates. All his teammates at the end. Because at the end, baseball is a team game. So, I thought it was an really well done, really well spoken, great speech.
Yeah, it definitely was. And there's a part in there, for those of you who listen to us that are in the U.S., Walker talked about playing 20 games or so a summer. 15 to 20 was his exact quote. And that's not playing travel ball. I mean, travel ball up where he was kind of... I don't even know if that was a thing. I mean, you know, I have to think it's been quite recently where we've had Canadians travel across North America to play baseball. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's been very recent. You know, back when you and I played, that was our summer. It was no more than 20 games. You might have got a tournament. If there was a rainout, tough shit. You're on your own. You lose the game. But I mean, for what he said, that was the absolute truth for a lot of Canadian kids, was it not?
Oh yeah, for sure. Especially like a good chunk of us play hockey.
Right.
Right. So, and the hockey season begins early October, so we had to do tryouts in September for teams and for rep teams and that. So yeah, it was a short season. You got another factor is a lot of ballparks don't have lights.
Yeah, that's true.
So the days get shorter. You know, you only can start a game so early on a weekday. So, you know, if it gets dark at 8 o'clock, you got to start the game at like 6, and people got work too. So that's another factor. And and another factor is like in rural areas, there might not be teams for you to play on. You know, there might not be a team in your age group. So you might have to be done ball at 15, 16, unless you want to travel to a bigger city for your games.
Yeah, even travel ball, I mean, you weren't traveling too far. I mean, to use an example, you know, St. Thomas didn't go as far as, you know, South London, Byron, which is like Southwest London. I don't ever remember traveling too far east for a ball game. I think the furthest I traveled maybe was Strathroy, which is 35 minutes out.
You would say a local league.
Yeah,
in a rural area. So it would be, definition would be a house league if you lived in a city, and then if you lived in a smaller town like St. Thomas or Byron or something like that, it'd be like a local league.
Yeah.
There just wouldn't be enough teams in your city center to have a house league.
Yeah, exactly. So I think the furthest traveling is probably when I played in Everett. You know, maybe in Mansfield. I mean, Ivy, Stayner, Collingwood.
Yeah.
Right? So,
anyway. Yeah, probably furthest maybe for me when I got older, because there was only so many. You had to kind of expand when you got to midget because guys stopped playing, right?
Yeah.
The furthest for me would be Orillia, which would probably be, an hour. Hour 10 from where I lived.
No, I remember my brother Scott. The furthest he played was Chatham. There was a tournament in Leamington, so you know, going west. But I never, I don't think we ever ventured too far east. Yeah. Do you think the Rockies could have had the success they did in the mid 90s if Walker stayed with the Expos?
That's a great question. I don't think so. I think Walker, it's kind of the same with Springer, right? With the Jays.
Yeah.
Walker was the guy that could extend the lineup, right? They did have some good hitters. They had Bichette, Galarraga, Vinny Castilla.
Yeah.
But when you added Walker, you extended the lineup. And you got, you just extend the lineup and just gets tougher and tougher to pitch to that lineup. So, like, I was looking, and it's a great question, because I was looking at that 95 team.
Yep.
That made the wild card. And it was just one of those years where, like, they didn't really have the greatest record for a wild card team. I think it was a strike shortened season, so if you put it over 162 games, they probably would have won, like, 87 if they kept the same pace, 87, 88.
Right.
But still, you know, for a fourth, what was it, would have been their third year in existence?
93. For a third year,
93, 94, so that would have been their third year.
Yeah.
So for a third-year team to make the playoffs, even win 88 games, that's pretty impressive. So, no, I think Walker was a big part of that team. team. Like, you got to remember, he was a 5-tool player too.
Yeah, true.
So he goes down. You take Larry Walker off your team, you lose defense, you lose speed, you lose the average on base. So I would say no. I think he was a big part of that team just because of all the weapons he had. And not to mention great coach and Don Baylor, I want to give a shout-out to.
Yeah, one of the best hitting coaches, too. I mean, if there's a guy that can talk about hitting, that's Don Baylor for sure. A lot of people are getting behind Joey Votto, who's having a great season, who's had a great career, to get into Cooperstown. What does he need to do over the next couple of years in your mind to follow Walker into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he's got a great resume. MVP, 5 other times in the top 5, got a gold glove, rookie of the year. I mean, sabermetrics-wise, he's pretty good. I think one year, it was 2012, he had like a 470 on-base percentage.
Which is crazy.
Like, yeah, it's something crazy. So I'm looking at the numbers. I haven't compared to other Hall of Famers, but I think he needs maybe one more season like he has this year. He's having a great year, but I mean, he's got about a 69, I think, WAR, career WAR. So I think he's on the doorstep, but maybe one more season.
Yeah,
I think. One more good season like this one, and I think that puts him right at the doorstep.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I guess to an aside, he's a 7-time Tip O'Neill Award winner too, which, you know, I don't know if that factors into any baseball writers voting, but you know, the fact that he stayed with Cincinnati has to say something through the good, the bad, and the ugly, because, you know, it was when Dusty was managing them, they were automatically in the playoffs every year, but like the Toronto Maple Leafs, they couldn't get out of the first round, right? Like, it was what it was. They're in the wild card race. They're currently holding the second wild card with the Padres, so maybe you know, they'll get back in. Maybe they can take, you know, upset the Dodgers. What a story that would be if they get in. But yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what happens to Joey Votto. And maybe Joey Votto doesn't care. I mean, I'm sure maybe he does, but he's a good ball player. Another guy I wanted to talk about is Marvin Miller. I was listening to McCowan's podcast, he had Buck on, and they were talking about Miller's influence in the game of baseball and how he had a huge influence in making life better for major league players, getting them more money, getting them getting the retirement situation figured out, safety regulations, and all of that. What do you know about Marvin Miller and his contributions to the game of baseball?
Yeah, I must confess, I did have to look him up. The name did sound familiar, but I did have to look him up. I think the big the story I do remember was the Curt Flood situation.
Yes.
About him taking on MLB to get rid of the reverse clause.
Right.
Which is essentially that if a player wanted to be technically an unrestricted free agent, he had to sit out a year.
Right.
Yeah, so I remember him. I remember the Curt Flood story, and him actually, for the greater good of the players, him actually ending his career early because no team was, basically, St. Louis, he was a starting outfielder on St. Louis, and they won the World Series, and then after the season, they traded him to the Phillies, and he didn't want to go for a variety of reasons. Phillies were a really bad team back then. So he took on the system because he didn't feel that he should be a piece of property to the team, essentially.
Right.
Right? Because at that time, a team owned your rights for the duration of your career unless you sat out the season.
Gotcha.
Right? So, yeah, so I remember that story and how I just thought it was so amazing that a guy in his prime would sacrifice his career for the greater good of the players. It's quite a story. It's quite brave of him. And Marvin Miller was obviously, he was the player's rep back then, so he was definitely in on it. And he kept explaining him the situation that day. if you do this, this is the end of your career. No one's going to sign you. But, you know, he did. Kurt Flood did it anyway. So, yeah, that's the story I remember. And, yeah, but all the players were pushing for him to make it in. I'm not sure why it took so long for him to be inducted. But, yeah, good for him. He had quite a life.
Yeah, that's the consensus that I'm getting is why it took so long. And I guess from what I heard is Miller's family didn't even show up. They've just, it was Don Fear, you know, who accepted it, made the speech. And yeah, it's unfortunate. And great story, good research on your part. Thank you. And I tell you, I mean, it's so interesting how baseball started and now how it is with the large contracts. And it's kind of interesting too that we're approaching another collective bargaining agreement as well. So that's something to think about. Are you surprised more people aren't talking about the upcoming CBA?
Yeah, I am a little surprised, because you got to remember, a CBA covers everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It even covers, like, if you're going to keep the American League or National League.
Right.
Or if they're going to keep the divisions the way they are, or who's going to be in what divisions, or, you know, like, basically, and it covers, like, all the rules, and what new rules do you want to put in, universal DH or whatnot. So it really covers anything, how the MLB's played, right? It's everything under the sun. So, yeah, I'm surprised it's not talked about. So far, from what I'm hearing, the talks aren't going so good, so well right now, so we'll see what happens, but yeah, I'm definitely surprised there's not more talk about it.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. It's going to be an interesting offseason for sure. Staying on the Hall of Fame boat for one more question. The Canadian Baseball Hall of Fame looks like they're going to be moving forward in 2022 to celebrate the 2020 inductees. They might add to that, you know, to the 2020 inductees, so that'll be interesting to see. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm glad they're going ahead with it. It's going to be a big class, like you said, because that's, what, 3 years worth of inductees?
I don't think they did anybody in 2021, though.
Okay, so it'll be 2 years. So, yeah, depending on where we are in this pandemic, I think, yeah, I'm glad they're going to do it. It's always a good day in St. Mary's that day.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about the Blue Jays. They're back in the playoff race. They currently hold their tied with the Yankees for the second wild card spot. What have you seen over this hot streak over the past 10 or 11?
Well, yeah, I totally predicted that 11-run inning last night.
Yes, I know you did.
Yeah, I totally called that. It's been an unbelievable ride. Don't ask for any predictions. It's been, like I said, it's been an unbelievable ride. How big are those two series losses against Seattle?
Huge.
During the season. So instead of losing those series, if they would have took two or three, both those series and won those series, they would have been two games ahead of Seattle, and Seattle would have been two games back. But that's the way the season goes. You just never know. So, yeah. It's been unbelievable ride. It's going to be an amazing end, and that's probably why nobody's talking about the CBA as much, as because just these races are going to be wild.
Yeah, you're absolutely right on that. And I was thinking the same thing as we were talking about, is that a lot of these races, and to be honest and to be fair, I've been saying it for most of the season, are going to come down to game 162. I don't see how they don't, right? You know, you look at the American League wild card, now you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams, you know, within two games of each other. You know, the AL East is spoken for, the Central is spoken for, I'll even say the West is spoken for, you know, even though 5.5 games, I'm not convinced that anybody could lose that. The NL East is not over, the NL West I don't think is over the wild card. You know, it's either going to be the Dodgers or the Giants in the second wild card as well. So, I mean, baseball has been great this year. It's going to continue to be great towards the end of the season, like you said. One of the things that have been really good so far is the bullpen for the Jays. We've seen it tighten up. Joaquin Soria, Trevor Richards, Tim Mays, who's been phenomenal and Jordan Romano. Do you think Charlie's going to deploy these guys going forward down the stretch, or do you think he's going to try and put Pearson and Merriweather in there as well?
I think he'll try Pearson Merriweather just for fatigue factors. I think just to give the other guys a rest. I think I could see him doing a setup closer role with Mays and Romero. Because those two guys have been so good, especially Mesa, right? I just think that would be the smart move, just to shorten the game, right? Have Mesa for eighth, Romero for ninth. Yeah. That would be my guess is what he'll do.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's been fun to watch Jordan Romano pitch, and I think he's going to approach 20 saves sooner than later. And Mesa coming back from Tommy John has just been phenomenal.
Great story.
Great story, as the eighth inning guy. The bridge to Jordan Romano, got a little stabler when he started to get going. So I wrote an article yesterday for Jay's Journal about George Springer. More than likely not playing center field going forward. And for those of you who cared to comment, I thank you very much, whether you thought the article was trash or not. Thank you. I appreciate you viewing it nonetheless. Do you think Springer plays a game in the outfield for the rest of 2021?
I would say no, just because they got some depth now with Dyson and Dickerson.
Yep.
I don't see him in center.
No.
I don't see why you would do it.
Yeah.
No. Just because the depth's there. Yeah, I've been trying to foresee a reason to, but he looks like he couldn't play center field or any of the outfield positions.
We'll get back to Springer in a minute because I want to dive into this a little bit further. Hyunjin Ryu was not good yesterday. He had some elbow fatigue at the end of his start, I believe it was Wednesday against the Yankees. Alek Manoah looks a little bit tired, and I wonder if that could be because of his first full season. He hasn't been terrible his last couple starts, but he hasn't been, the guy that's come onto the scene and done what he's done. Should we be worried about Ryu and Manoah?
Yeah, you know what? I would say a little, only because it's tough for me because I was never a pitcher, my arm strength issues for baseball, but I'm not sure how the pandemic shortened season affected Ryu.
Great point.
I think it might have maybe lost some conditioning just to get through a full 162 game, 30-35 start season.
Yeah.
So I'd be a little bit worried about Ryu. Manoah, he's going to have some growing pains. It's his first full year. You take what you get, right? He needs the starts. He needs the experience. He's going to take it on the chin once in a while. That's just growing up as a pitcher. So, but when it comes to Ryu, I'm a little worried just because I'm not sure how the pandemic shortened season would affect him.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about conditioning.
Yeah.
That's my answer to you. A little worried about the conditioning.
I am too. Maybe they have a case of the Septembers, but, Ryu, to his credit, has not had an IL stint this year. Previous years past, he has. That's kind of the one thing. Maybe, like you said, the conditioning, could be part of it. And, we'll have to see how this plays out. Stripling came back yesterday from his IL stint, and it wasn't great, but, for a player that's just coming back, you always try and give him a little bit of grace and leverage there, and we'll see what happens down the line with Ross Stripling coming out of the pen. Thomas Hatch looked good yesterday against the Orioles. He left with a hamstring injury, so it'll be interesting to see, if somebody does go down, God forbid, I'm knocking on wood right now. What happens? Do you put Stripling back in the rotation? Do you hope Hatch's hamstring's okay? Do you bring up Anthony Kay and roll the dice? It's a lot to think about. Couple more. Charlie Montoyo, your favorite manager in Blue Jays history.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know, they take issue with everything he does. But if he gets his team to the playoffs, is he manager of the year? Is he, you know, is he safe? Because there's a lot of people that think he should not be the manager in 2022.
No. If he gets his team to the playoffs, for sure he's safe.
Yeah.
I think La Russa, like we said on the show, I think La Russa's got it locked up. Yeah, he'll definitely get some manager of the year votes. What about, for some reason we forgot this guy, when we were talking about manager here, how about Scott Service?
Yeah, that's a great point.
In Seattle.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can't believe it's just Seattle's flown under the radar all year. Everyone's been expecting them to fall off because of this run differential thing, but they never have. So it's going to be a tight one, Scott. I think La Russa's the trendy pick, but Scott Service should get tons of votes too. So he might be third if he makes it to the playoffs, but his job's safe. His job's safe.
Yeah, I agree. No arguments here. It's managing in the American League East isn't easy, else we'd all do it. And we'd all last doing it, too. Back to Springer for a minute. A lot of the feedback I got yesterday was about, we signed George Springer to a 5-year, 120, was it, you know, a 6-150 or 6-125, I forget. But anyways, we brought Springer in because he was one of the best center fielders in baseball. I take issue with that for two reasons. Number one, his age. I shouldn't, but he is 31 turning 32, right? Number two, he's played about, I would say, 65% of his games in his career that he's played in the outfield have been in right field. I can get an exact number for you, but he hasn't played all his games in center field. So the fact that people are telling me that he's one of the best center fielders in baseball, that argument doesn't wash with me because he hasn't played. You know, Mike Trout's not playing the corner outfield positions, right? Bellinger, I don't think he's one of the best center fielders in baseball. But, you know, Bellinger's a good outfielder. He's a guy you put in center if you have to. Ramon Laureano, you know, prior to his PED use, you know, was fantastic in center field for Oakland. Starling Marte is another guy that comes to mind. That Hill kid from Detroit, that guy's not playing any corner outfield spots, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that argument that, you know, we paid him lots of money to play center field, I don't agree with it. I think you paid him money to play the outfield. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. I'll give you that. But you brought him to Toronto because what he can do with the bat. Am I wrong in saying that?
I would say you're absolutely right. I don't remember anyone talking about his defense. He definitely is a serviceable center fielder.
Yes, I agree with that.
I definitely wouldn't put him as the best. It doesn't really stick out in my mind that he's a defensive player by any stretch. But yeah, I would say he's a serviceable center fielder. He'll make some good catches for sure when he's completely healthy. So yeah, I have no problem with him playing corners.
Yeah.
But definitely you got him for the outfield, not to DH. But center field, no. I think you're right when you talk about his age. He is like 30, going on 32. This is when you start to maybe say, does he move to the corners?
Yeah, well, that's what happened. I guess with Chad Curtis, he was a center fielder for the Tigers. He moved to left. Darren Erstad, same thing, center fielder. Then he became a left fielder, first baseman type of player. Another guy, I'll give you an example, Vernon Wells. Vernon Wells was in center field for many of years for the Jays. When he finished up with the Angels and everybody else, he was playing left field. He was playing right field. So George Springer's not going to be in center field for the duration of his contract. I'm just concerned with the knee injuries that he might be a defensive liability in center field. I'm more than happy to be wrong on that, by the way. That's my thing. I don't think we brought Springer to Toronto because he was a great center fielder. That's all. One more before I let you go. Marcus Semien. Marcus Semien is approaching 40 home runs. I don't know if he'll hit 100 RBIs. That remains to be seen. But everybody wants this guy extended, and no arguments here. But do you think Marcus Semien is going to be getting some MVP votes if he continues this hot September? Or do you think the votes are going to be Guerrero and Ohtani and that's it?
Any other year, Brent, for sure. Like, you look at the numbers for a middle infielder. And by the way, great call, because I know you've called Marcus Semien is going to have 40 home runs because he's not playing in Oakland anymore. He's playing at Rogers Center. I remember that you called that, so congrats, bud.
I thank you. And Brett Gard, if you're listening, thank you as well, because he also said that to me this week.
Yeah, so congrats to you. But, it's going to be three guys getting MVP votes. The two you mentioned, Ohtani and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The other one, Sal Perez in Kansas City.
Oh, well done.
He's going to break Johnny Bench's record.
That is a great point. He's
going to break a 40, what is it, 75. So how long's that? 40 years?
45? That's actually almost 50 years. 45, 46 years, yeah.
He's breaking a 46-year record. And nobody is talking about him. Poor guy, but hey, he's got to get some votes. So it's going to be three guys. I think Ohtani's going to win it.
Yeah.
Just because it's pretty amazing what he's doing. But Ohtani, Vlad Jr., and Sal Perez, because that's just, I just can't believe nobody's talking about him beating a 46-year-old record. It's amazing.
That is. I mean, he has had a phenomenal year.
Oh, that guy amazes me. That's just amazing.
Yeah, he's got to be north of 30 now. 31.
Yeah, I didn't think, it's Johnny Bench.
That's crazy.
He's the guy who invented catching. And I can't believe it. And the record's going, so that's good for him.
That's awesome. I'm a little bit surprised the Royals didn't try and move him for a farm load of talent at the deadline. But, I mean, he is a great, great piece to have on your team.
How about this for a trade? Sal Perez for the whole Baltimore Orioles.
Yeah, why not? Just fill in with everybody in, Norfolk? Yeah, just bring them all up. Sal, catch. Could you imagine Sal playing in the AL East, though? I mean, if he's hitting 40...
Imagine him at Rogers Center?
Oh, my God.
I mean,
if he's hitting 42 home runs playing in bigger ballparks, you know, the Central ballparks are still pretty big. You know, they're not hitter-friendly, right? So if he's playing, you know, if he goes to the East, like, he's going to have 60 home runs if he's, you know, healthy, right? Like, and the fact is, you don't run on Sal Perez. That's the other part that's impressed me. You just don't do it. You just don't try and steal a base off him.
I think the key, and I think the pandemic-shortened season benefited him because it was only 60-gamer last year.
Yeah.
He could rest his knees and everything, and now, I think that's the big part of it. But, like I said, not to take anything away from the guy, it's an amazing season. You can't deny him that.
No, you really, really can't. You really, really, really can't. By the way, I didn't mention this at the top. Happy opening NFL Sunday. You know, your Lions, probably, we don't know whether it's going to be your Lions or my Broncos that'll have the first round draft pick at the end of the year, but.
I don't know, my Lions and your Broncos in the Super Bowl, that's what I say. You heard it here first on the Cardi Show.
Very optimistic of you. That's exciting. It's an exciting time. September is kind of, you know, when things get really fun, and baseball is really fun down the stretch. Dave, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it.
Not a problem. Always good to be on the best podcast around.
Best podcast around. Dave Glassford, as always, on the Cardi Show. We'll talk to you next week. Take care.